Hiskashrus Letzadiko Emes, based on the pamphlet written by Reb Shmuel Horowitz, Zechid Tzadik Levracha. We're continuing from where we left off. He mentions that we find in Likutei Maran, chapter 129, that's one of the places where Rabbeinu Zal speaks a lot about the concept of coming close to the Tzadik and Emuna and the holiness of Eretz Yisrael, which is also a major aspect of Emuna. We know the Pasuk says in Tehillim, Shchon Eretz Ure'e Emuna, live in the land and be nourished with Emuna, faith. And Eretz Yisrael also represents something that covers the full spectrum of holiness, whereby a person coming to Eretz Yisrael wants to be absorbed by the land. And now here Reb Shmuel writes that just like regarding Emuna, we know that Emuna is faith, is the most important thing in everything in the Torah. The Gemara says at the end of Makos, Bo Chavakuk ve'emidon alachas, that Chavakuk Hanavi came along and showed how the entire Torah and everything in it is really based on one most important principle, which is Emuna, based on the pasuk Vitzadik be'emunasa yichya. A tzaddik lives with his faith. And the pasuk in Tehillim, kol mitzvoisecho emuna, all of the mitzvois are about faith in Hashem. And therefore he says that a person, we know a Jew has to be prepared to be willing to put their life on the line in order to accept upon themselves this title, Yehudi, I'm a Jew, and regarding my faith in Hashem, and that nothing in the world will allow me to give up that faith in Hashem, to reject that faith in Hashem, and to deny the fact that I'm a Jew, chas v'shalom. Because he says, if a person were to do that, then any mitzvah they do or anything like that, without faith in Hashem, and without acknowledging that I'm a Jew, the mitzvah doesn't really have the effectiveness that it's supposed to have. And he says, so too, regarding the concept of connecting, being connected to the tzaddik and his name, being willing to accept the name of the tzaddik upon myself, that I am a student of this tzaddik, I am a member of this tzaddik. And he says here again, for a person to be prepared to put anything on the line for that sake. And by being registered in this sense as a member of this tzaddik, the person becomes part of the name and the grace and the beauty of its tzaddik. And this is one of the things that helps the person eliminate all of the wrong types of desires, all of the wrong type of character traits, and to be zecher, to be part of the holy name of the tzaddik. As we find again, when the Jews came out of Egypt, the Torah says, Vayaminu b'Hashem uv'Moshe Avdoi. They believed in Hashem and his servant Moshe Rabbeinu. That term emuna, faith, which there are many people, including many religious Jews, who would say that chas v'shalom, we never apply that term to any human being. That term applies only to Hashem. Those people obviously have forgotten a pasuk in Chumash, where the Torah writes very clearly, Vayaminu b'Hashem uv'Moshe Avdoi, that we believe and trust completely in Hashem, and we believe and trust completely in his servant Moshe Rabbeinu, in the great, great tzaddikim. And therefore he says, regarding this concept of coming close to the tzaddik and being considered part of the tzaddik, a person has to be prepared to apply Mesiras Nefesh for this more so than anything else. And this is why the Yetzer Hara, the evil inclination, will try to do everything he can and allow a person to do everything else okay, except for this, including the fact that sometimes the Yetzer Hara would say, why do you have to go specifically to this tzaddik? There are other tzaddikim also. Who's to say, you know, he's a tzaddik, like we find in Sipurei Maaseiyos, in the story of the rabbi who had the only son, the ninth story, where this young man was learning Torah and davening, but he felt something's missing and he couldn't figure out what it was. And his friends told him, you have to go to this tzaddik and he'll be able to help you. And the story continues that his father tried to do anything he could to stop him from going to the tzaddik, and eventually he did, and the son ended up dying. And the commentaries in explaining the story make note that Rabbi Nizal told this story, they didn't say find a tzaddik, they said you have to go to this tzaddik. And later on in the story, we see that this young man and his father encounter someone else who says, I went over here, I met this tzaddik and that tzaddik, and over there was a tzaddik, seeming to imply that a person doesn't have to make such a big deal necessarily about a particular tzaddik, when in fact that's not the truth. And he says that a person who believes that they've found the true tzaddik, that person has to be able to say to their yetzer hara, to their evil inclination, I'm willing to ignore everything else except for this, that this to me is the most important thing, my relationship with this tzaddik and my closeness to this tzaddik. And he writes that even if the Yetzer Hara will sometimes try to show the person that if you'll go to that shul, the people are friendlier in that shul, or you go to this place and the singing is very nice, or you'll hear beautiful words of Torah. If a person knows that a particular tzaddik is the one who affects them in the greatest way, that the connection to that tzaddik is life-changing in terms of improving their midos, in terms of improving and changing the attitude, the kavana, the concentration that they have in tefillah, in speaking to Hashem, and the amount of prayer to Hashem, then the person needs to know that there's nothing in the world that I will allow to come between me and that tzaddik. And he writes that the truth is, a person who will do this will see that it's not like what the Yetzer Hara was telling them, that they'll see in coming close to the tzaddik, they'll see how much it helps them in all of their positive mitzvahs, and in tshuva, and in having sincere regret for the mistakes they've made in the past, and tefillah, both in all levels, in all the positive aspects of Yiddishkeit, and in the sur meira, in turning away from all the wrong types of desires, and how much a person would lose out on if they weren't close and deeply attached to the tzaddik. And he gives a specific example. We know that Rabbi Nizal stressed that one of the most important things in the relationship with him is the Rosh Hashanah, coming to him for Rosh Hashanah. And one of his students mentioned to him that for him, he finds it's much better when he comes at other times. Rosh Hashanah, there are too many people. It's hard to concentrate. It's hard to daven because there are so many people there. And Rabbi Nizal's response to him was, Rabbi Nizal said, you're davening, nish davening. Whether you're able to pray or not able to pray, whether you're able to eat or not able to eat, whether you're just be there. Make sure to be there for Rosh Hashanah. And Rav Nosson Zal writes that the truth is that this is a false imagination. It's a dimyoin. It's just the Yetzer Hara telling that to the person. Those people who would come to Rabbi Nizal for Rosh Hashanah would see that usually they daven better there than anywhere else. And so too we find in Shvuchei Oran, where Rabbi Nizal spoke about his own challenges and tests as a child. And Rabbi Nizal writes that he struggled with trying to overcome any physical desire for food, but rather to eat purely for religious reasons, to eat to be able to serve Hashem, and so to other challenges. And he writes that at one point he felt and realized that the Yetzer Hara, his Yetzer Hara, his evil inclination, was willing to offer him that he should have it easy to overcome all the other desires as long as he was willing to be more flexible regarding the wrong type of desire for women, the whole relationship between men and women, that in that area, Tikkun HaBris, he should take it easier, she should be a little more light. And Rabbi Nizal said that he understood from the fact that the Yetzer Hara was presenting it that way, that he's willing to give him the ability to overcome all the other challenges, all the other desires, just this one, he shouldn't be so strict in, he shouldn't be so religious in, he understood to offer the Yetzirah the exact opposite. That if that's what you're telling me, then I realize this is the most important one. And therefore, in the other ones, in the other areas, maybe I'll be a little bit more lenient. But here, all the way. Here I know I really have to go all the way because this is the most important one. And therefore, Reb Shmuel writes, so too a person has to realize that if the Yetzirah is willing to grant them to go to, you can go to any shul you want except this one. What's the difference? How much of a difference is there? One shul or another shul, one rabbi or another rabbi? The person needs to understand that if that's what the Yetzirah is offering, it's because he knows that if the person will come close to this tzaddik is in a position to affect the person's life much more than all the other tzaddikim combined, all the other people combined. And in fact, we know he mentions another item. We know the Gemara says in Baba Metzia that if a person is presented with two mitzvahs to do, and they could do either one, the person should choose the one that requires the greater, that's the greater challenge, that requires more effort in overcoming the Yetzirah that's trying to block them from doing the mitzvah. So therefore, if we see that the Yetzirah is willing to do everything in the world to prevent people from coming close to this tzaddik emes, then the person needs to know from that how important this really is. The next item in the version that I'm using, this is the beginning of chapter 5. He says here that we know the Gemara explains to us the most important prayer that we have, pretty much, of the day is the Kriya Shema, which we recite in the morning, in the evening, and we know that the Torah Shebal Peh, the oral Torah, begins with that. When do we recite the Shema? The evening Shema, and then the Gemara goes on to speak about the morning Shema, everything about it. And that's considered the most important declaration of faith in Hashem, and the Kriya Shema appears in three sections. The first section is where we declare our faith in Hashem. It's called the Emunah Sayichud, our faith in the oneness of Hashem, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. And then the Vahafta paragraph, which goes together with that, is we're showing we accept upon ourselves the authority of Hashem without going into any details. I love Hashem with my whole heart and soul without going into any detail. We don't mention mitzvahs in that first paragraph. That's called Kabbalas Oil Malchus Shamayim, accepting upon ourselves the yoke of the heavenly kingdom, Hashem's authority. And in fact, it's brought that the word Shema, Shin Memayim, makes up the first letters of Oil Malchus Shamayim. And in fact, also, the basic three prayers of the day, the three standard prayers of the day, Shachris, Mincha, Arvis, the same letters, Shin Memayim. That what it's really all about is that we're showing that we accept upon ourselves the authority of Hashem and the one and only Hashem. We come to the second paragraph of the Shema, which is V'hoyom Shamaya, and that's called Kabbalas Oil Mitzvos. There we mention specifically the commandments, the individual commandments, the 613 commandments that Hashem has given us, by which we display our respect and acknowledgement of Hashem's authority. V'hoyom Shamaya Tishmu El Mitzvosai, Asher Anochi Metzaveh Eschem Hayom, and so on and so forth. And then the third and final paragraph is the Parsha of Tzitzis, the Mitzvah Tzitzis. And the Gemara asks, why is it specifically in this order? And the Gemara explains, because the correct order of a relationship with Hashem is, step one is to accept upon yourself the Hashem's authority, to declare, this is my king. Once a person has done that, then they accept upon themselves the individual details that are involved in respecting the will of Hashem. And then we go on to the mitzvah of tzitzis, which is unique in that it's compared to all 613 mitzvahs put together. Number one, it's brought that the word tzitzis is bigematria 600, tzadik yud tov, and there are 8 strings and 5 sets of double knots. Together it's 613. So a man, by looking at the tzitzis, by wearing tzitzis and looking at the tzitzis, is reminded of all 613 commandments. And in addition, the parsh of tzitzis also has in it, v'lo yisasuru acharei levavchem v'acharei nechem, a warning to be careful not to turn away from Hashem. Acharei levavchem means apikorsis, any type of atheism or any type of idol worship, chas v'shalom, not to turn to that in any way, v'acharei nechem, and not to allow ourselves to be drawn by our eyes to look at things that would entice us to commit sins, especially in the area between the relationship between men and women. Now, Reb Shmuel writes that we know that of all the 3 sections, everyone realizes and agrees that the first part, the Shema and the Baruch Shem, that's the most important. That's called Yehuda Ilo and Yehuda Tato, and that's where a person really has supposed to try to concentrate on making that declaration with Mesiras Nefesh. I'm prepared to die for this. I'm prepared to give up my life for this. That's the in the Shema. That's that Dalit, that large Dalit at the end of the word Echad in a Sefer Torah. It's brought that when a person says that Dalit of Echad, they're supposed to be thinking, I'm willing to accept upon myself all the 4 different types of death, Skila, Sreifa, Hereg, and Chenek, for the honor of Hashem. For the honor of Hashem. So Reb Shmuel writes that so too, regarding the relationship with the tzaddik, the closeness to the tzaddik, step number 1 is accepting upon oneself the authority of the tzaddik. That this is my rabbi, this is my king. The Gemara says, Man Malki Rabbanon, who are the kings of the Jewish people? The rabbis. Which means that I am known, in the Shema we say, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. We declare the name of Hashem, that I am going under that title. I am a member of Hashem, and this is Hashem. We know Hashem Echad Ushema Echad. Hashem and his name are one. So I want to be known under the name of Hashem. And so too, regarding the relationship with the tzaddik, a person believing in the tzaddik and being willing to called by the name of the tzaddik, not being ashamed or embarrassed in any way, to be known as a student of that tzaddik, a member of that tzaddik's community. And as we mentioned earlier about Eretz Yisrael, about our faith in Eretz Yisrael, that just like Eretz Yisrael, we're told that a person who comes to Eretz Yisrael and believes in the holiness of Eretz Yisrael and tries to live a proper life, that person becomes digested by Eretz Yisrael. Just like when a person digests, a person eats a fruit or a vegetable or anything, that fruit becomes converted from fruit to human. It becomes part of the human being. So too, when the Torah describes Eretz Yisrael, it's called Eretz Oicheles Yeshveha, a land that eats its inhabitants, meaning those who want to be absorbed by Eretz Yisrael in holiness, they become digested, they become part of the holiness of Eretz Yisrael. And he says the same thing regarding our relationship with the tzaddik, that I want to be digested by the tzaddik. I want to be converted. I want to become part of him. If I start out as being a fruit or something else or a fruitcake, I want to be, by coming close to the tzaddik, I want to become literally tzaddik, part of him. And to be prepared to accept whatever the tzaddik says, whether it seems to be a very important thing or a less important thing, and not to deviate to the right or to the left, not to try to be more religious than what he's telling me, or chas v'shalom less. And for the person to put aside all of their own notions, all of their own ideas and perceptions, but rather to be prepared to accept completely the guidance and direction of the tzaddik. And therefore, he goes on to say, in closing this paragraph, that the most important of all important things, the greatest success of all successes, and the greatest degree of completion of shlemus, of all types of shlemus in Yiddishkeit, are coming close to the tzaddik and attaching oneself to the tzaddik to become part of that tzaddik, literally part of that tzaddik. And through this, a person will be zeiche to achieve things that nothing else could match, these successes that the person will achieve in their closeness to Hashem. And he closes with the words, Hashem should help us be zeiche to this. The next paragraph, the next chapter, chapter 6, is called Hanisoyon Ho'asiri, the 10th test. We know that the Torah tells us that Avram Avinu, the first forefather of the Jewish people, Hashem gave him 10 different tests to prove his loyalty, his complete loyalty to Hashem, and to be worthy and qualify for being known as the first forefather of the Jewish people. In a sense, the founder of the Jewish nation. And here's where he goes on to say how important it is to come close to the true tzaddik. And even if the Yetzer Hara will tell you, but you don't realize that if you didn't have this, you could have much more time for yourself. You could be learning more. You could be doing other things rather than the time and effort that you have to spend regarding this relationship with the tzaddik. And not only that, but sometimes if people know that you are connected to a particular tzaddik, sometimes that puts a stigma on the person. Whereas if you didn't have that, if you were a complete independent, it might be easier for you to do outreach, to be makariv people, and they'll be willing to listen to you more than having the stigma, the name of this tzaddik upon you, which some people won't want to listen to what you have to say because of that. And here Reb Shmuel writes, it doesn't matter. The closeness to the tzaddik is more important than all of those things. Just like we said regarding the Kriya Shema, that the emuna, the yichud, that's more important than anything. And if a person, chas v'shalom, rejects the title Jew, I'm not a Jew, or they reject faith in Hashem, we said then, whatever sitting in a sukkah, anything they do doesn't count. If they say they don't believe in Hashem, chas v'shalom. So too regarding this relationship with the tzaddik. And he writes here, quoting the Sefer Eitz Hadas Toiv of Reb Chaim Vital Zal, that Reb Chaim Vital explains what was really the test of Avram Avinu regarding the 10th test, which was the Akedah of Yitzchak Avinu, offering his son as a sacrifice, a human sacrifice. And the mitzvah of Mila, what was so difficult about it, to the point where Hashem said to Avram Avinu, I see that you invite guests into your home and you're bringing so many people into faith in Hashem that they should know about me and they should praise me. And Avram Avinu thought that when he accepts upon himself a bris milah, they'll all leave him and he won't be able to fulfill this mitzvah anymore of having guests in his home and all the kindness, and he won't be able to bring people close to Hashem. And Reb Chaim Vital writes that Hashem's response to him was, I'm willing to forgo am moichel your hachnos esorchim and all your kindness and everything, and they're coming close. All of that, none of that compares to how much I want you to be willing to undergo this bris milah, this circumcision. And am moichel all the other things. All the other things don't count as much as this. And then he goes on to say, so too regarding the concept of coming close to a tzaddik, even if it seems to a person that the person would be able to achieve much more success in bringing others close to Hashem, If they don't have that title, if they're not known as a chassid or as a breslov or whatever it is, the tzaddik is known as bris. The tzaddik is called tzaddik yesoid oilon, and we know that bris is the concept of yesoid. So just like the bris milah, where Hashem told Avram Avinu, nothing else matters as much as this. If because of this you're going to lose all your customers, doesn't matter. Go ahead with the bris milah. And so too, that was one of the tests. And then when it came to the 10th test, when Hashem said to Avram Avinu, Ono Rachem, Hashem said, please have pity and withstand. I want to see you pass this test so that others won't say that all the other tests was nonsense. If he couldn't pass the final test, that shows that he wasn't really, really a loyal servant of Hashem. So again, Reb Chaim Vital asks, what was the most difficult part? The most difficult part was that in those days, everyone was doing this. All the other religions were doing human sacrifices. The Moilech, they were taking their kids and throwing them into the fire. And Avram Avinu went around and told them, you're all crazy. The one who created the world, he created the trees, he created human beings. Obviously, that's not what he would want. He wouldn't want us to kill people, to murder people. Why are you doing this? Hashem wants kindness, charity, justice. And now they're going to see him taking his only child, his only son, who was born to him when he was 100 years old, and take him and offer him as a human sacrifice on a fire. What are they all going to say? They'll all laugh at him. They'll say he's a phony, faker. Everything he told us was nonsense. And this will be the greatest chil Hashem, the greatest desecration of Hashem's covering. And Hashem told Avram Avinu to ignore everything and to withstand the test, to pass the test, and let them say whatever they want to say. And even if all of them, even if all the people that you brought close to Hashem leave you, doesn't matter. He should stand up with his Mesiras Nefesh to perform the Akedah and to be willing to put his own respect, the respect that all of these people had for him, to put all of that aside completely to fulfill the will of Hashem. And Reb Shmuel writes, this should be the person's attitude also regarding coming close to Rabbeinu Zal and being known, having that title on oneself, that I am a student of this rabbi. And he says, we know that Rabbeinu Zal himself once said this. Rabbeinu Zal said that there are certain people who, after they've passed all the other tests and all the other challenges in life that they're supposed to have, Hashem gives them me as test number 10. I'm the 10th test. To see whether the people are not going to speak against or oppose the tzaddik in any kind of way. And this is why he writes, Reb Shmuel writes, that a person has to be willing to stand up to this test and sometimes endure insults and real major insults, sometimes from relatives, sometimes from a person's own parents, and everyone, like the whole world going against the person, where the person could think, hey, maybe this is a chil Hashem, that I'm causing all of this, I'm causing these people to speak against the tzaddik, to speak against, to say all kinds of ugly, disgusting things, etc., etc. And maybe it's, I'm not showing respect for parents, which is one of the Ten Commandments, or my previous rabbis that I had. And he said again, once a person realizes that they've come close to a true tzaddik, especially referring to Rabbeinu Zal, by whom the relationship with this tzaddik can have the greatest effect on the person's life, the most life-changing in terms of improving every aspect of their Yiddishkeit, the person has to be willing to endure all of that and hold on tight to the tzaddik and come close to him, which is more important. As we find Rabbeinu Zal said in Chaim Aran, once there is a true tzaddik, it's impossible for a person to be really religious without coming close to that true tzaddik. And Rabbeinu Zal said, before the tzaddik is in the world, then it's possible to do it on their own, sort of. But once the tzaddik is in the world, it's impossible for a person to have the real best relationship they can have with Hashem without the tzaddik. We find Rabbeinu Zal also writes in chapter 66 of Likutei Moran, and this is quoting the wording, that when a Jew has to do something upon which their whole Yiddishkeit depends on it, especially if it's something really important, such as traveling to the true tzaddik, going to the true tzaddik, then from heaven, very often, they put an obstacle in front of the person. Different obstacles that make it look difficult or impossible for the person to be able to travel to get to the tzaddik. And Rabbeinu Zal explains the reason for that is only to increase the person's desire, to make the person want it more. Because sometimes, Rabbeinu Zal says, because there could be many tzaddikim. However, there is the nekuda so'emes shebein hatzaddikim. There is a tzaddik who is the highest, purest level of truth among all the tzaddikim. And when a person wants to come close to that tzaddik, upon which everything is dependent on that, then the person very often will experience many major obstacles. And from the many major obstacles, that alone should make the person realize how important this really is, that the Yetzer Hara is putting all of these many different obstacles in their path. And Rabbeinu Zal goes on to show there, based on the Zohar HaKadosh, that this is related, the term yearning, when a person really wants something desperately, that's called cheshik in Hebrew, and it's also called kisufin. Kisufin means a deep yearning. And the Zohar HaKadosh shows how the vowels in the Torah, we know that the Torah is comprised of four basic units. There's the letters and the crowns on the letters, which we see in a Sefer Torah. That's the revealed portion of the Torah. And then there's the vowels and the musical notes, whereby those two are so holy that they represent the hidden part of the Torah. They're so holy that they cannot be visible in the Sefer Torah. And Rabbeinu Zal and the Sifrei Kabbalah quote the pasuk Nekudais HaKesef, that the Nekudais, the vowels, are related to Kisufin, the yearning that a person has for holiness, for coming close to Hashem. That yearning is connected to this, next to the holiest part of the Torah, the vowels, the Nekudais HaKesef. And Rabbeinu Zal writes that we know that there are nine basic Nekudais, nine basic vowels, in Lashon Kodesh, starting from Komatz. Komatz is the highest one, going all the way down to Shurik. And Rabbeinu Zal writes there in chapter 66 that the word Komatz means something very hidden, closed, secluded, hidden. Komatz is the vowel that's associated with the Keser, the crown of holiness, the highest level. And we said before that the test of coming close to the tzaddik, that's the 10th test. That corresponds to this highest level of komatz, which again is the place where a person needs to be willing to apply mesiras nefesh, to be willing to go all the way and really try to do everything the person can, especially when it's not easy and there are obstacles in the way, to be able to come close to the tzaddik. He quotes one of the closest followers of Rabbeinu Zal of the previous generation, Reb Avrom b'Reb Nachman. Reb Avrom, who was the son of Reb Nachman Tulchiner, who was one of the closest students of Reb Nosson Zal, the father, Reb Nachman Tulchiner. And he said that Reb Avrom b'Reb Nachman once said, "I am a midget standing on a giant," meaning, as far as me myself and my own qualities and my own knowledge and everything, I'm a midget, I'm very small. But the fact that Hashem has given me the privilege of coming close to the tzaddik, I'm standing on the shoulders of a giant, a super giant. And Reb Shmuel writes, therefore a person needs to realize that their whole Yiddishkeit and their achieving their completion and the healing of our soul and our success is dependent especially on this, the coming close to the tzaddik and the yearning for this, and the efforts that a person puts into this, and the joy that a person has in realizing how lucky we are to be zeuche, to know about a tzaddik and to come close to him. The next part of this sefer is letters. It's actually a collection of letters that Reb Shmuel wrote to certain people on this topic. And in these letters, he goes into incredible detail addressing some of the questions. Question that was raised in the previous year about a rabbi who's no longer living, and other similar questions that are asked, especially regarding Breslov, and he gives very clear, detailed answers to these questions. So in the first letter here, he begins by saying, this is something that everyone can understand, that a person who is zoche to come close to Rabbeinu Zal realizes how much they've benefited from that relationship, how much tshuva they've been able to experience, feeling sincere regret for mistakes that they made in the past, and really wanting to improve, and how much it's helped the person to be able to avoid sinful thoughts, or looking where they shouldn't be looking, or doing all kinds of things that are wrong, how much that has decreased in the person as a result of the closeness to Rabbeinu Zal. How much more the person is davening with kavana and hispoidedus, the fact that the person actually engages in speaking to Hashem in their own words and reciting Tehillim and other mitzvahs and charity and all kinds of tremendous good things that the person has been privileged through this relationship, through this closeness to the tzaddik, where all of the different worlds that Hashem created and everything in them don't compare to the slightest degree of closeness to Hashem. Something that brings a person a drop closer to Hashem is more important than everything else in creation. And again, the benefit that a person has through the closeness to Rabbeinu Zal. And he says that the truth is, if a person will really be willing to listen to what Rabbeinu Zal teaches us, and he says, even in one chapter of Likutei Moran, a person could get to achieve incredible, incredible high levels. And yet, we're not ready to say that we're only going to stick to one chapter. We're going to learn more. We want to learn more than one chapter and be zeichet to much more than that. And therefore, he says that a person who realizes this, when they have questions, all kinds of questions that come up in their mind, they realize that they have who to rely on, and everything is okay. It's just that if there are things that I don't understand, it's due to my limitations. And the Yetzer Hara wants to use that against me to try to disconnect me from the truth. And therefore, I need to plead with Hashem, I need to be mispalel, that I shouldn't have these questions, and I should these doubts, and I should always be zeicha to remain attached to the true tzaddik, where my eternity depends on this. However, he says, however, that's on one hand. However, now I'm going to attempt to answer some of the questions. And he says, question number one, why do Chassidei Breslov attach themselves to a Rebbe who's no longer physically living, when we know that there are places in the Torah where the Torah seems to imply how important it is to go to a living Rebbe? For example, in Chumash Dvarim, where it says, El Hashoifet Asher Yihyeh Bayomim Hohein, you have to make sure to go to the judge who is living during your time, who is present during your time. And regarding Negoim, all the laws where a person finds a certain type of a stain on their body, or a certain type of stain on the wall in their home, and it says, you will go to the Kohen Asher Yihyeh Bayomim Ohem. You have to go to a Kohen who's living during your generation, and he's the one who has to look at it and make a judgment as to whether it's Tomei or not, and what degree of Tumah, and other psukim. So Reb Shmuel writes, I have a lot to say about this. There isn't enough paper for everything I want to say about this. However, let me try to give a brief explanation. This explanation is not so brief. We'll start it in today's shiur, and I hope we'll continue in the following shiur, but it really adds incredible clarity to this. He says the truth is, from when Hashem created the world till today, the entire world is supposed to try to make every effort, he's speaking obviously to the Jewish nation, to try to make every effort to come close to the great true tzaddik, the neshama of Moshe Rabbeinu, Olav HaShalom. He is the only one who was sent down to the world to perfect the entire world, and there's no one else that's in a position to perfect all souls, no matter how great he is, if he's not an aspect of the soul of Moshe Rabbeinu. And not only that, if he's a great person, however great he is, that this great person also needs to get to the soul of Moshe Rabbeinu in order to help that person get to where they need to get to accomplish what they need to accomplish. Therefore, Hashem sends a soul to the world once in several generations, not in every generation. Hashem sends the neshama of Moshe Rabbeinu in order to repair all generations. For example, from the beginning of creation until the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, the world did not get to its complete tikkun until Moshe Rabbeinu appeared on the scene, and he was the one who perfected, who corrected all the generations up until his time. We know the Gemara tells us, we're a few days now before the holiday of Shavuos, the Gemara tells us that from the time that Adam and Chava ate from the Eitz Hadas, it brought death to the world, it brought depression to the world, it brought all kinds of curses in the world. And the Gemara uses the wording that the snake injected a tumah into Chava. The Gemara says, however, thanks to Moshe Rabbeinu, at the time that the Jews stood at Har Sinai, that tumah came to an end. It stopped completely. And it was only afterwards, when they rebelled against Moshe Rabbeinu and they made a golden calf, that's when it was reinitiated. But Moshe Rabbeinu, in his leadership of the Jewish nation at the time, was able to actually put a complete stop to the negative effects of that tumah that the snake injected into Chava. And he gives now another proof to this. We find Rabbeinu Zal writes in chapter 4 in Likutei Moran that Yehuda, the fourth son of Yaakov Avinu, Yehuda from whom Moshiach will come, Dovid HaMelech, Moshiach comes from Yehuda, Shevet Yehuda, and when Yaakov Avinu was about to pass away, he gave very strong rebuke to Reuven, to Shimon, to Levi. When he came to Yehuda, he praised him, tremendous praise. Now, and yet, the Gemara tells us that when the Jews were leaving Egypt and they took the coffins of Yaakov Avinu and the other brothers that had passed away with them, the bones of Yehuda were rattling in their coffin, showing that something is not settled. The soul of Yehuda is not in a settled state. And it was only after Moshe Rabbeinu prayed for him, even though Yehuda confessed during his lifetime, when the incident happened between Yehuda and Tamar, his daughter-in-law, Yehuda made a confession in the time. He confessed in front of the court that it was me, tzadka mimeni, etc. Rabbeinu Zal goes on to show it wasn't until Moshe Rabbeinu mentioned that confession that's when the Gemara tells us his bones came to a rest and he was allowed to enter into the heavenly yeshiva and he was able to understand everything that was going on there. Prior to that, the Gemara shows from the Pesukim in the Torah, he couldn't. And so too the Zohar HaKadosh tells us regarding Reuven, Shimon and Levi, that Yaakov Avinu was afraid to bless them and to attempt to repair their mistakes completely until Moshe Rabbeinu would come along and he would do a complete fix. And so too, Moshe Rabbeinu was able to repair all the neshamos of all those who were close to him, to the point where the Gemara tells us that during the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, a maidservant, the one who was the lowest level intellect, the lowest level religiousness, a maidservant who was at the crossing of the Red Sea with Moshe Rabbeinu, was able to see Hashem more clearly than the prophet Yechezkel. And he writes that we see that no other leader was given this title, Rabbeinu, like Moshe Rabbeinu. Because to be given that title, it has to be someone, number one, who reveals something new, brand new in Torah, and in how the world should be conducted, in the whole conduct of the Jewish nation. and the tikkun of the souls, like Moshe Rabbeinu, who received the Torah from heaven. And we find the Gemara says that from the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, no prophet has permission to introduce a new mitzvah, a new law to the Torah that's not part of Torah's Moshe Rabbeinu. This is why we always find in the Gemara, they're always asking, Minahani Miri, where does it say it in the Chumash? Where's your source in the written Torah which was given to us by Moshe Rabbeinu? It has to be connected there. And even Yehoshua wasn't given that title. They were called Moireinu, our guides, our mentor, who taught the path that Moshe Rabbeinu had given us and guided the Jews as to how to fulfill the Torah that was given to us by Moshe Rabbeinu. And so too the world continued to operate in that way with the power of Moshe Rabbeinu and the other prophets that came afterwards, but all based on the foundation that was laid by Moshe Rabbeinu, and all of them are all considered his students. Until the holy Tana Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai came along. And Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was also a revelation of the soul of Moshe Rabbeinu himself. We know that we celebrated recently Lag BaOmer. Lag BaOmer, which is the 33rd day of the Omer, which is the Yahrzeit of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Now we know that Ashkenazim, when we count the Omer, we don't say BaOmer, we say LaOmer. How is it that over here everybody says Lag BaOmer? It's brought that Lag BaOmer is Bigimatria Moshe, exactly, which is one of many connections that are found in the Zohar HaKadosh, the Arizal, and other Sfarim later, showing the close connection between Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and Moshe Rabbeinu. That Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was a continuation of the neshama of Moshe Rabbeinu, who came down to the world, again, to perform a major tikkun for the world and all the neshamos from the time of Moshe Rabbeinu and on. And he was given permission to reveal a new section of Torah, the secrets of Torah, which is the most important part of the Torah, the Zohar HaKadosh and the Tikkunei Zohar. And therefore, he is also referred to by this title, Rabbeinu, because he is also an example of this Rebbe Amiti of the whole world, and all the other tzaddikim are considered like his students. Not in the same context of Yehoshua after the passing away of Moshe Rabbeinu. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is considered to be, in a sense, a new Rebbe of the world, a new revelation of Moshe Rabbeinu. And we find, again, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is our closest students, his son Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Abba, the one who wrote the Zohar HaKadosh. After Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai passed away, they did not become the new Rosh Yeshiva, they didn't become the new Rebbe, but rather they were called Chaverim, they were friends, and they conducted themselves according to the guidance of Moshe Rabbeinu and Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. And they were attached to their Rebbe, to Rabbi Shimon, like Chasidim, after the passing away of their Rebbe, Rabbi Shimon. The Zohar HaKadosh shows that they were able to see Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai after his passing away. And they always spoke about their Rebbe, Rabbi Shimon, and followed his path, his Torah. And they would say, and here he quotes from the introduction to the Zohar HaKadosh, Rabbi Shimon, you are lying in the ground, and you're leading the world. And they kept themselves, the students of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Zal, stuck together with tremendous love, and only Rabbi Shimon was the Rebbe. They were all students. No one ever accepted upon themselves that title, that mantle of being the Rebbe, the new Rebbe. Now he's about to say, now I'm going to start explaining a little bit regarding your question about why we Breslovers attach ourselves to a Rebbe who has already passed away, instead of a Rebbe who's physically living. And he's going to go into a whole major explanation of this. We'll hold it over here for now. Any questions, please?
Reb Dustin? Yes. So the understanding is that Moshe Rabbeinu reincarnated as Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Zichron Lerecha, and Rabbeinu Zal. And these are the only two?
No, we're going to have more. We're going to have the Arizal and the Baal Shem Tov. We're going to have a total of five, corresponding to the five parts of a Jewish soul. The Sifrei Kabbalah speak about the Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, Chaya, Yechida. The Zohar HaKadosh speaks about this, these five divisions, and he's going to go into this now. Now, I see a question in the chat. How can his explanation replace what's written clearly in the Chumash, which we quoted earlier, about coming to the judge that's found in one's generation? Isn't the Chumash the ultimate authority? The answer is, of course. And again, he's going to explain now. He's going to show very clearly from sources in the Chumash and the Gemara, explaining the significance of a tzaddik after he passes away. How a tzaddik after he passes away, the Torah makes it perfectly clear, is greater than during his lifetime. Now again, this doesn't mean no living leadership. It doesn't mean no living guidance. We have, Rabbeinu Zal writes in a few places, that the tzaddik, when he leaves the world, makes sure to leave behind his books, his sfarim, and he puts his face, his mind, and his neshama, panav, v'sichloi, v'nishmosoi, are in his writings. That's number one. And number two, in his students. In his students. The Gemara says that you want to see who a Rebbe is, look at the face of the chochma sodom toyer panav. That the knowledge of a person lights up his face, that looking at a student, a proper student, a person should be able to see who his rabbi was, that kind of thing. And we're going to see very clearly explained and addressing all the issues, all aspects of this issue, musician. Any other questions? I've mentioned in the other shiurim that I'm planning on undergoing an operation. I fell a few weeks ago and tore the quadricep, and scheduled tomorrow, 1 p.m. Israeli time, to undergo an operation. I'm asking everybody to please keep me in your tefillos for refuah shleima. And this week we're going to be celebrating Shavuos, which is the epitome, the highlight of the year in many ways. The holiday of Shavuos, Matan Torah, wishing everybody to be zeichah to a brand new, to receive the Torah anew. And our whole attitude towards Hashem, towards Torah and mitzvahs, towards the tzaddikim, should all be new and improved. And be zeichah thereby, the Zohar HaKadosh says in a place, that Shavuos is one of the important times when Mashiach can come. We know that we're going to read Rus, Megillas Rus on Shavuos, which speaks about the birth of David HaMelech, from whom Mashiach comes from. And also we're going to be reading the Ten Commandments, which is a compact version of the whole Torah. The Ten Commandments have in them 620 letters corresponding to all 620 mitzvahs of the Torah, the 613 and the 7 rabbinical mitzvahs. And the incredible importance of this yantif, we should be zeicher to prepare for it. Today is the first day of the Shloisha Simei Hakbolah. When the Jews received the Torah in Har Sinai, Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, tell the Jews to prepare themselves for 3 days, during these 3 days, to really purify ourselves, to prepare to receive the Torah on the 6th of Sivan. We should be zeicher to prepare ourselves with simcha, with ahavas Yisrael, with ahavas Hashem, with emuna in Hashem and tzaddikim, and be zeicher to see the complete and final geula with the coming of Moshiach, the binyan beis hamikdash, me'arav yameinu, amen v'amen.